Okay, so John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just pray you give us understanding tonight. Help us to draw nearer to thee as we learn more about thee from thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see here a foundation. John is building a foundation. The Gospel of John is a little bit different than the other three Gospel witnesses. First off, it doesn't begin with the birth of Christ, and it doesn't have that as part of the description. We don't see anything about his early life either, or even the temptation of Christ prior to his ministry. It really just gets right into his ministry. And so, but we see here John does set forth the foundation. He does set forth the foundation for the point and purpose that that men might believe on Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And so he begins with a very strong foundation here in these first five verses, just so solid. You know, I saw in some of the material that I was looking at in preparation for the message, one of the writers was saying that these words are solid gold. And I tend to agree, just because it's so clear. The doctrine is so clear here. These are, I would call these anchor verses. These are the kind of thing that you can really anchor to in terms of interpreting other scripture by this plainly written scripture. And so, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so in the beginning was the Word. We see John, by the way, use that title of Christ, the Word, to describe Jesus Christ in a number of places. So obviously here in the Gospel of John, also in 1 John 1:1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. And so the Word of life, and that's Christ. In 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And then in Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And so it's clear, as he's talking about the Word here, that he's talking about Jesus Christ. And of course, there's much, much more as we go along that will bear that out. And so Jesus Christ truly is the Word. God speaks to us through his Word. Now, of course, we understand that in the context of all the prophets and the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. But just in the sense of speaking to us through the Word, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it says, hath, because he makes reference to the prophets here in 1:1, he says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so God is speaking to us by his Son. And so that's the Word, speaking to us through the Word. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. Christ was in the beginning with God. And so if we keep in mind some of the Gnostic beliefs that were being dealt with at the time, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John is addressing here, two of the main ones are Docetism. And so Docetism is a false belief that Christ did not have a real or a natural body during his life on earth, but only an apparent body. So basically like a phantom or a hologram or a figment of our imagination. It was only apparent. It wasn't material, because they looked at the material as being evil. And so they consequently denied Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven. And so a false doctrine that leads one into a number of other cascading false doctrines if you won't recognize the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. One of them being Cerinthianism. And again, this is a false doctrine that first and foremost denies that the supreme God made the physical world. Of course, Cerinthianism, the inventor of that is Cerinthus. He was a first century Gnostic, lived between 50 and 100 AD. And so in his interpretation, he's one of these that believes that Christ descended, so spiritual Christ descended upon physical Jesus at baptism, and then guided him in ministry and the performing of miracles, but then left him at the crucifixion. And so there's a number of religions that have carried on that false doctrine to this day. And so both of those are at play. And John is, in my opinion, is putting out that match with a fire hose with these clear doctrines, even that are here, but then certainly as we get through the rest of chapter 1. And so he's setting that context to really deal with that. And so Christ was in the beginning with God. We see here in Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And so that's the same word whereby all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews 1, 10 through 11 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment." And so that's the Lord. He remains, and he is from everlasting to everlasting. He's before the foundation of the world. Jesus himself, in John 17, verse 5, praying to the Father, says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And so in the beginning, the Word was with God. And then it says, "And the Word was God." Christ is God. The Word was God. Such a potent phrase. And for those that are following on our Sunday school, Brother Ron has been going through lecture number 5 there on the deity of Christ. And so we've addressed a number of these scriptures and these doctrines. But in that lesson, you find out, and if you might be aware of this, but that phrase is such a potent phrase that the Russellites, the JWs, changed the very grammatical context of that scripture and input the letter A, which they change it to read, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God," rather than submit to the authority of Scripture. And so, rather than submit themselves to what God's word plainly says in the context and just simply in the words that are written, and whether that be in the Greek or in the translated English, there's no reason for there to be an A there. And so rather than submit to that, they instead wrest the scriptures really under their own destruction, because they refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And I haven't checked in their Bible what they do with this verse, but 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And of course, that's Jesus Christ. He's God. You know, in Jesus' ministry, the nation of Israel, the Jews at that time, certainly the Pharisees, understood Christ's plain speech concerning the fact that he is God. In John chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18, when they were confronting him, it says here, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." See, they were mad because he had healed somebody on the Sabbath day. You know, they were mad that somebody was doing good on the Sabbath. And he says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." And we know the book of Philippians tells us that Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And why is that? Because he is God, and he is equal with God. God the Father. And so they certainly understood his plain speech there. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And of course, they then immediately took up stones to stone him, because they knew exactly what the implication of that was. And so the Word was God. And then in verse 3 of our text, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And so we touched on a couple of these scriptures. They relate because we see kind of the totality of these thoughts, Christ with God and Christ the Creator, in a number of these scriptures. And so Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, which we looked at, where he said, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." And so, without him was not anything made that was made. That's Christ. Also in verses 10 and 11, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment." And then also Hebrews 1:3, which I neglected to read right after 1:2 here, but it says, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And so without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 say, speaking of Christ, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. One more verse on that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And so without him was not anything made that was made. And so John is laying out the power of God in these opening verses that should color everything else that comes after it. So concerning Jesus Christ as the creator, again, that makes us aware that as creator, then he is the potter and we're the clay. It sets the tone and the context for what's to follow and how we're to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're just to look in the book of John alone. And so then transitioning from Christ as creator, then we see, well, not transitioning from, but expounding upon that in verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so really, this does look back at Christ in creation. And we think in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25, just part of creation here, and God made the beast, just one snippet here from that. It says, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And so all of that life was created by God. In him is life. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25, preaching on Mars Hill, we see, preaching to those that were worshiping the unknown God. It says here, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And so in Christ is life, because every single thing that is living currently on the planet owes its life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in him was life. Colossians 1:17 that we mentioned before, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so they owe their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I owe our lives, our physical lives, certainly, to our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if we choose to be saved, then it's going to be also through the Lord Jesus Christ. Both physical and then spiritual life come through Christ. And that's the next part here. He says, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so if we look at that picture in Genesis, we see in Genesis 1 verses 2 through 4, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And so there was light shining in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We see that picture carried out through the scriptures in prophecies. We see it referenced in Matthew chapter 4 in verse 12 and following. It says here, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Of course, he's referencing Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, that reads, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And so we see that picture, and that's what John is describing here when he says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ, our Creator, the sustainer of life, and the light of the world. We sang the song, the light of the world is Jesus. And yet that light is shining in the world today, and men comprehend it not. We understand that if we're saved today, we understand that there was a time when we were truly in darkness. And we had to open our eyes to see the light. You know, the Bible talks about salvation in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so as we look at this first five verses of John, we see a strong foundation built here for us to understand truly who God is. He is the creator and the sustainer of life. And then also, he is the light that shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. That is the lost man. That is the man that goes through his life and thinks that everything is just happening just as it was in the past. When you think of evolution doctrine, believing that the world just created itself, failing to acknowledge the power of God in creation. And then even though the Lord Jesus Christ has been lifted up that all men might look to him, yet they ignore the gospel. And, you know, again, we call the gospel the light. We use the analogy of light to talk about believers. And so the lost man ignores those believers that are faithfully sharing the gospel, and they're dwelling in darkness. And so he is the light of men. But those that refuse to acknowledge who he is are even yet dwelling in darkness. And so a brief introduction to this, as we have more time through the coming weeks, we'll go through each verse and each chapter. But I wanted to just start it off with this brief message to understand the foundation that we're working with. Of course, it's exciting scripture. These are things that we can really hold to when someone challenges our notion that Jesus was God. And you know, there's lots of arguments out there where people will try and challenge your faith in that, and yet you have the opportunity to give them a plain answer. Some of these scriptures are so plain and so clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We can trust God's Word and understand who he is, and then allow him to work in our lives. And so we'll just close with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time to look, just as we begin to look into thy Word here in the gospel according to John, that Lord, you would just be pleased to show us more of thy goodness, more of thyself, thy character throughout this gospel, that we would draw nearer to thee. Lord, again, I continue to pray for those that are at home, and just pray that you would again bring a resolution to this situation, that we can meet together again and enjoy fellowship. Lord, I do pray though through this week that we would have opportunities to continue to reach out to people in the gospel, that you would open up effectual doors of witness, that you would, Lord, just continue to do thy work. We know you desire to see all men come to know the salvation that is in Christ Jesus alone. And so, Lord, help us to be seeking those opportunities to be faithful to Thee. Help us to take heart in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word are true and solid, and we can just simply point people to Jesus Christ and then pray that they might have ears to hear and that they would truly see the light and come to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Lord, we thank You for this time tonight. Pray that You would go before us through the week and just lead and guide us. Help us, Lord, to do right and, Lord, to be pointing people to Thee if Thou should tarry. And so dismiss us now with Thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.